Welcome to day 26 of Daily Acts, a 28-day journey through the New Testament book of Acts. I'm Pastor Eddie Schmidt, and I'll be your guide for today's teaching. So in this text, we see the Apostle Paul give an appeal and a defense to King Agrippa. We heard a little bit about King Agrippa in the previous chapter, but I don't want to assume you know who he is. So let's do a little backtracking. So we have the Apostle Paul, who's incarcerated. He's in prison in Caesarea. The person in charge at the time was Felix. Now, Felix's time has come and gone, and there's a new person that has stepped into place, Festus. So there's Felix, Festus, and then King Agrippa. Now, King Agrippa was visiting Festus kind of in his new time as ruler of the area. And Festus was kind of essentially asking King Agrippa, hey, would you take a look at Paul's case? Because it is a highly contested sort of case. The Jews are not happy with how this thing is going. And so King Agrippa, who is familiar with the Jewish people and the customs, said, absolutely, I'll take a look at it. And he's actually what this dialogue happens in chapter 25. Festus said, King Agrippa and all who are present with us, you see this man about whom the whole Jewish people petitioned me both in Jerusalem and here, shouting that he ought to not live any longer. Can you tell that the Jewish people don't like Paul? But I found that he had nothing deserving death. And as he himself appealed to the emperor, I decided to go ahead and send him. But I have nothing definite to write to my Lord about him. Therefore, I have brought him before you all, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after we examine him, I may have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable in sending a prisoner not to indicate the charges against him. So, Acts 26 is all about the Apostle Paul speaking to King Agrippa and appealing to him on his story and why he has done nothing wrong. So this is where we pick up in Acts chapter 26. So Agrippa said to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. And then Paul stretched out his hand and made his defense. I consider myself fortunate that it is before you, King Agrippa, that I am going to make my defense today against all the accusations of the Jews, especially because you are familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. Let's just stop here. The Apostle Paul is saying, listen, everyone knows me. Everyone knows my background. Everyone knows where I came from. It was known by all the Jews. I have nothing to hide, he's trying to say. And here's what I thought when I heard this text. Have you ever had someone in your life refer to like the old you? Like the old you, maybe before you knew Jesus, like the old year when you were in high school or in college or those crazy days, right? I'm looking to you, okay? Those crazy days? All right. I don't know if you had crazy days or not, but let's play along with me. Have you ever had people in your life kind of refer to you, your old you, and they get frustrated with you and they bring things up that reflect the old you? And maybe you've had a true transformation in your life where Jesus came in and really did a redeeming work and you've been changed. Like you changed your habits, you changed your lifestyle, you've changed your worldview, you've changed how you spend your time and your money and all these things. You've truly been transformed. and you're trying to follow Jesus as much as possible. Have you ever been in that spot? Well, the Apostle Paul is kind of getting to this point where he goes, look, all these people, they know the old me. Now, I want to tell you how I've been changed. I want to tell you about this Jesus. I want to tell you how he's done a work in my life. So verse 5, they have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, that I have lived as a Pharisee. See what he's saying? Hey, I used to live as a Pharisee, and now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God. Let's just stand there. The Apostle Paul is saying, I stand here today on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God. You know what you can do to all those people who constantly refer to the old you? You can just say, look, I am trying to make a difference in my life today. I have created new habits in my life, new rhythms in my life. I've surrounded myself with a new group of people because I want to be different. That's what the Apostle Paul is doing in this text. So I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope, I am accused by Jews. O King, why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? That's a good question. Then, through verse 9 through 18, and I'm not going to read it because it's actually highlighted in the text where the Apostle Paul lays out his whole life story, and actually he's referencing Acts 9. So you could simply go back to Acts 9 and take a look at that. But you will see how Paul is laying out how he was this religious leader who killed Christians and approved of the killing of Christians, and how Christ entered into his life and totally transformed him. So let's pick up in verse 19. Therefore, and he's referring to, therefore, since I've had such a radical change in my life, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, and then in Jerusalem and throughout the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and to turn to God. That is so good. That they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. For this reason, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. To this day, I have had the help that comes from God. Some of us, we stand where we're at today because of the help of God. Some of us are walking and doing the things that God's calling us because of the help of God. That is such a good word. And so I stand here testifying both to small and great, saying that nothing but the prophets and Moses said would come to pass, that the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, that he would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul is kind of zoning in. He's clarifying that Jesus had to suffer, and he's also declaring that Jesus is the great conqueror, that he is the first to rise from the dead, that death does not hold him down. And that this message of good news is both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. And it goes on in verse 24. And as he was saying these things, in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, imagine just how he's yelling this. Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind. Uh-oh, he's calling Paul out. Paul said, I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking true and rational words. For the king knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things has kept his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. I know that you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian? And Paul said, whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. Then the king rose, and the governor and Bernice and those who were sitting with them. And when they had withdrawn, they said to each other, This man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. And Agrippa said to Festus, this man should have been set free if he has not appealed to Caesar. So this whole chapter is Paul appealing and defending himself to King Agrippa. We see Festus stepping in and calling Paul out. And Paul simply saying, I'm not being crazy. Jesus really has done a critical work in my life, a life-changing work in my life. And here's what I think about when I see this text. Paul is, before all of these people, defending himself. And he's recognizing that, yes, he has a past. And yes, he's done some horrible things. But also, his life has been changed. That Jesus has radically changed his life. The old Paul is dead and gone. The new Paul is alive with Christ. And some of us, we hang on to so much of our past. We live in shame. We live in guilt because of our past. And we don't embrace that Jesus has done a work within us. And friends, I'm here to share with you, embrace Jesus. If Jesus is King and Lord of your life, lean into that. If people want to define you for who you were and what you've done, hey, they can say whatever they want, but you're not defined by that. You're defined by Jesus. And so if there's one message that I would just want us to leave from this text today, is this. Your changed life is your evidence. So when you go into your workplace and you go into your neighborhood and you go into your friendships and you go into your family gatherings and you have people defining you by who you were and what you've done in the past, you need to shake that off, friends. Because if Jesus has really done a work in your life and you are really leaning in and trusting him with your life and you are trying to change the rhythms and lifestyle and habits in your life to be more of a reflection of Jesus, friends, you're not defined by your past. You're defined by who Jesus is. You're defined as a child and a son and a daughter of him. Lean into that. Your changed life is your evidence. And Paul is laying out his evidence in this text. He's laying out his evidence on how his life has been changed. And so, friends, let your life be a reflection of the evidence of the work of God in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. And Father, may we be a people, a community, that live radically changed lives, that the evidence of following you is so clear in the places that we live and we work. God, help us to be more like your son, Jesus. Help us to trust him, to put our hope in him. And God, we want to be a people that are ultimately marked by him. We love you. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Daily Acts. Don't forget to subscribe to Journey's YouTube channel and sign up for the notifications for future messages. If what you heard today was helpful or encouraging, please share it with others. Join us again tomorrow for the next leg of our Daily Acts journey.